Hi, everybody. Jose Palomino, CEO of Value Prop Interactive, and your host on Business Growth on Purpose. And our guest today, once again, is Rob Dubay, the CEO and founder of Image One, actually former CEO, and we'll talk about that. It'll be really interesting. So listen carefully as we talk about Rob's journey as an owner, as a leader, and as somebody who's actually been able to transition leadership in his organization so he can do even more for his company and actually more for entrepreneurs and other business leaders who are in high performance roles and maybe getting a little bit burnt out. So it's going to be a real interesting conversation with Rob as he joins us right now. Welcome, Rob, to Business Growth on Purpose.
Jose, thank you for having me back. I am so grateful to you.
No, absolutely. We're grateful to you for joining us. We had a great conversation several months back. And for our listeners, Rob is the CEO and co-founder of Image One. And just to provide context, Rob, just tell us a little bit about what Image One does.
Yeah, so Image One provides managed print services, which are start with multifunction printers and copiers, and then they are serviced and supplied by us on an ongoing contract. And we mainly focus on mid-sized to enterprise organizations.
Okay, so basically all that stuff that people need to count on just working doesn't just work by itself. Doesn't
That's
just
right.
have paper and ink. Somebody has to do that, right?
So that's right.
I could just hear the refrain from my, you know, just past lives working in offices. You know, who knows where the toner is and things
right.
like that.
Right? That's
right. The printer's down. So that's great. That's great. So now, Rob, my understanding is, you know, in the last year or so, and you've been transitioning in a way that I know from talking to a lot of owners, and you know, we at Value Prop work. Mm-hmm. Just about only with owners of B2B companies. And that you've transitioned or in the process of transitioning to be more of a higher level overseer, not as much in the day to day, right?
Yes, so is that correct?
Okay.
Yes, it is. We put in place a succession plan and that is completed. So we had one of our key team members is now become the CEO and I'm serving a role to help support him in any way that he needs me to through my years of experience with the organization. And I'm focused on acquisitions. And so that's what I do for Image One on a day-to-day basis.
Wow. So, you know, I think that's such an area, I think, for rich discovery. And here's what I mean by that. I've talked to a lot of owners who they know they are the hub of the wheel. Right. They are basically everything. And, you know, and they will tell you, like, I know I don't want this. I don't want to be always involved in all these decisions. I wish somebody would take this from me. I still like to be in the business. I'm not ready to sell the business. But and in fact, they've may even been told that so long as you're the hub, actually, the business is hard to sell. So it's not even like right. you can't just easily get out of it if you're that glue. So what were some of the and let's start with the inner game, you know, kind of like the emotional, intellectual processes to even come to that decision that you wanted to remove yourself from the day-to-day operations. How was that transition for you?
Yeah. So fortunately for me, my identity is not wrapped up in my business life. And so I think that made it a little bit easier, but we have a really clear vision. And I continually would look at our vision and I would ask myself, am I the person who's capable of helping us accomplish the vision? Mm-hmm. And I started to waver on that. And I felt I hit a ceiling. I'm not the person who's going to be able to do this. We need somebody much more capable to come in and lead that next phase of the business to get us to where we're headed. And so I felt very strongly about that. And that's why we made that decision to do the succession plan.
Now, what's interesting about that, Rob, and I'm not saying that all owners are egotist, but I am saying, I think something about starting a business, you have to have a certain amount of confidence or else you're just not going to be able to, asking people for money, you're asking people for business. You got to believe you can do something. But somewhere in that, it sounds like you created like a model of what you wanted the business to be. So you could objectively kind of judge whether you were the one to take you there because you actually put some structure around what the goal looks like.
That's right.
Was that a long process or was that something that you had somebody help you figure out or is that a natural gifting area for you?
Well, as far as creating our vision,
Yes.
You know, we've been visioning for over 20 years. So I was taught how to do that and found a particular process that worked well for us. And it was a very collaborative process, meaning I brought key members of the team into it. And then ultimately, we work with the entire team, everybody in the company, to sort of verify where we're going with the vision and take in new ideas. And then we put together the final vision for everybody, and they've all had a hand in it. And so we've been doing that for a number of years now. Yeah.
Wow. So that's very different than, you know, owner walks in one day and says, we're going to develop a vision for our future.
Exactly.
And you could just see the eye rolls like, oh, here you go again, you know, that, like that. But this is something you actually built as part of your culture, is looking toward the future.
Yeah. Yes.
And building that way.
Yeah. I mean, I've never felt I'm the smartest person in the room, in fact, and I don't want to be. And so, you know, I've always tried to find, and like most business owners, I think do try to do this, is try to find people that complement them, in the sense, complement their skills, you know, their strengths and their weaknesses. And I'm a big collaborator, you know, I'm always looking for answers. I don't always feel like I actually have the answers. So collaboration is a very important part, and that comes naturally to me.
Right. Well, what's interesting about that too is, you know, one of the biggest skills, and it doesn't often get highlighted, we think about the person with the answers, but in reality, leadership is often being the person with the right questions. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. So that's something that you obviously honed and got people thinking that way. So now that you're living through this transition, right, you have a CEO you put in place. Have there been any mornings where you like you kind of pulled into the wrong parking spot, you know, so to speak, where you, you know,
what am I supposed to do today?
Yeah, that kind of thing. I'm just curious.
Yeah. I haven't had those moments, but I think I was really clear on what I needed to do throughout the succession plan, because it wasn't, you know, one day I'm this and the next day I'm that. You know, it was, we had planned for 12 months, but the person who replaced me by the name of Josh Britton is much more talented than I am. So he didn't need 12 months, and he'd been part of the company, so he understood a lot of things already. So it took about 8 months. And so, you know, it was a process. And so as I was taking things off my plate, you know, other things were coming into play. So I never really went into the wrong parking spot, as you put it. I like that though.
Well, yeah. And you also have people, you know, in your team maybe coming to you for that, you know, that rob request. And now they have to go to this other gentleman, right? So was that a tough transition for people?
I think what made it not tough is old habits where they might come to me, I would immediately tie in Josh.
Okay.
And then if he needed my support, I would be there for him. And if he didn't, I would just say, because the company knew that this was a succession plan that was taking place. So it wasn't surprising to them if they came to me and I said, now Josh will be handling this moving forward.
Right. And it was, you did it very openly. So that transparency, you know, has to engender trust.
It had, yeah.
And confidence. Now, you did this transition, and all of this is like during some really tough times you know, in our economy. So, I mean, it was like you picked an interesting time to make a leadership transition.
Yeah.
Was that a concern to any of your customers? You know, I'm just curious as to, did anybody say, well, gee, you're picking now? We need stability. We need you to be there.
We didn't notice any sort of concerns. I mean, I think, you know, again, I think being open, honest, transparent, authentic, you know, I think that those relationships that we built over many years and the culture, the strength of the culture that goes well beyond me, you know, made that for really a congratulations more type of conversation. Yeah.
Right. Right. Now you mentioned something at the top of this interview that you also now are able to focus on other things to the benefit of the company. That's not all you're focused on, but I just want to highlight that, like, what are you now able to do that when you were the day-to-day CEO was hard to get around to?
Well, acquisitions is a great example, because that's time consuming and it requires me building strong relationships with potential acquisition targets. You know, there's a marketing plan around how we go to identify who our target market is to acquire and how we, you know, keep them in the funnel, you know, so to speak, and then the ongoing relationship until they're ready, hopefully, to engage with us, and then the process that goes beyond that. So it is somewhat time consuming. And we didn't have anybody solely focused on that, which, right. You know, leads to why we didn't have great results with that in the past.
Right. It also gives you more time. And I know this from talking to owners who've done acquisition, you know, to drive a certain amount of growth.
Right.
Is they're sometimes surprised by the cultural mismatch.
Exactly.
Of the acquired company, because, you know, you can read a P&L and say, this looks like a great company to acquire. And the price might be right. But then, you know, you walk through the aisles of the new company, you realize, boy, I don't know that I want those people on the team. Or at least not. Or maybe they've been beat up or whatever. Who knows?
Absolutely.
Right. So is that something you have more time to kind of marinate and really vet out an opportunity?
Yeah, that's the relationship developing part. You know, I'm trying to understand the CEO, the owner that we're considering acquiring, you know, what's their culture, you know, and are the things that they're telling me playing out in real, you know, for real, or is it just lip service? And because you don't think about when you are integrating how much cost, you know, goes into a bad culture.
Sure.
And what that's going to do in terms of time and even money to help you get that straight. So a big part of what we're doing and what I'm doing is making sure that the cultures are aligned, so we have a really good and smooth transition.
Right. Then you could really hit, you know, you can move fast.
Absolutely. And
speed's a big deal. So
absolutely.
So just one last question around the, you know, the business, right? And then I want to transition that a little bit more personal on you, Rob. But obviously, we're coming out of the pandemic, at least in the U.S., by and large, right? Supply chain shock still here. Gases, you know, I just filled my tank yesterday. And it was shocking.
Totally.
It's like literally shocking, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
So it is. I didn't even know that digit came up on the gas there. You know? But it did. So in the midst of all of that, you know, what, and I'm not asking you, you know, to be Warren Buffett or have a crystal ball, yeah, but just your sense looking at the market, you're working with a lot of different businesses. What's your sense about like what the next year looks like, both for you and, you know, the people you're dealing with? And what are you feeling
there? Yeah.
What are you hearing?
Right now, I'm a little nervous, to be honest with you. We're having big time supply chain issues. So we have millions in open orders that we can't deliver. And it's concerning that those orders might go elsewhere or get dropped. And of course, we can't bill for those orders either. So that's concerning as well. So as far as our industry and our business goes, that's concerning. I think a recession could be around the corner. And I don't know what that's going to mean to our customer base. So that's of concern to us. And then, you know, the type of business that we are, since we're servicing offices and the world has changed,
right?
You know, what's that going to look like? Are people coming back in? Are they sort of coming back in? Are they not coming back in? Right now it's everything. So, you know, all those things are at the top of our issues list that we're trying to pay as close attention to as we can to, you know, make sure that we make good decisions. You know, for a business like ours, I think it's really important to make sure that we have 10-year thinking, which we do, and that we are prepared financially. So we've done a good job at making sure that we have proper cash to get through challenging times. And I think those are two really important components to getting through difficult times like this, because when you do, you're way ahead of those that weren't prepared, because they either crash and burn or they're stumbling out.
Right. Wow. Well, you know, it's interesting because I'm hearing, you know, pretty much that. And you're always fearful that, is this going to be like all self-fulfilling prophecy? Like everyone's worried about everybody. Everybody's worried about everybody's worrying. Right?
Totally.
And it slows things down. And clearly things like what you're talking about, you know, which could be significant changes in the way people office.
Right.
But, you know, it's interesting. I was working with a client, and one of the challenges they had was because they were getting all new remote workers. Like when they hired somebody, they're remote, getting a properly configured laptop printer combination to that person's home.
Right.
It's not trivial. I mean, Best Buys are closing. And it has to be configured. It has to have the software on it because it's a corporation and so on. So
that's right.
It's just interesting how, you know, I wonder how that's going to play out, you know, in time.
I do too. Yeah. We're paying close attention to that for I'm sure,
Rob. So now you've, I'm assuming you're still very focused and busy on the things you are now focused and busy on, but I also know you've added some layers to what you're, yes, what you're able to do with your life now and so on. And tell us a little bit about that.
So a close friend of mine that I started working with many years ago by the name of Gino Wickman, who happens to be the founder of the Entrepreneurial Operating System, EOS, and wrote many books, but one most well-known is called Traction. And I partnered up on a book that he wrote called The 10 Disciplines for Managing and Maximizing Your Energy. And these were disciplines that he has taught to me sort of through our, not formally, but informally through our friendship. And when I saw him put them on paper, I was really energized because I knew what that did for me in my life and how impactful it was. And so the two of us came together and we created a community around the 10 disciplines. So people can really work towards building what we hope will be their optimal life.
Okay. So it's much more, it's not just business.
It's geared towards entrepreneurs.
Okay.
And high performers. Gotcha. And usually what we find oftentimes some traits of entrepreneurs and high performers is they have a high level of anxiety. They maybe have experienced depression or trauma to a certain extent. Some are addicted to various substances or things. Oftentimes they've been bankrupt or they're near bankruptcy, you know, they're on the edge, and we want to eliminate that suffering from their life. And the 10 disciplines for managing and maximizing their energy is a really useful set of tools that can help them do that. So while it is somewhat personal, it's actually very relatable to their business life.
Right. Because at the end of the day, for an entrepreneur, they are the driver until they get to the point where you reach, where you can actually now hand the keys to somebody else.
Yeah.
They're going to be the one that's going to drive a lot of it, you know, getting there.
That's right.
And so, Rob, if somebody wanted to know more about the 10 disciplines, where should they go to learn more about that?
They would go to the10disciplines.com and it's all right there.
Okay, that's good. I love it. A URL that makes sense.
That's right. And you can either spell 10 or you could type 10.
We either have one. You thought you got both. That's great.
Who knew?
That makes sense. You're right. It's funny. And I'm glad you don't have like dashes on that because
there's no dashes. There's no goodness.
Dashes. When you do dashes, it's hard when people call that out. But you know, sometimes it's the only way to get the name you want.
Totally.
So Rob, as you look out at that, do you see yourself doing more of propagating? Do you see yourself doing that more like, is that like more your cause, like helping entrepreneurs, working more with entrepreneurs on that level, maybe speaking, things like that?
Absolutely. I'm out there speaking. I've done numerous keynotes on the topic since we started this going on a year almost. And there's an online course there that you could take. You can join into the community and there's one-on-one coaching options. So there's all kinds of ways that you can learn and keep these disciplines incorporated into your life and really build a strong foundation because it takes some time.
Sure. I'm assuming it's not trivial. You're talking about people are hardwired a certain way and all.
Absolutely.
There's some changes you can make, but you're actually a testimony to applying these disciplines in your life. You've done it. It's not just a book you read. It's something.
That's right.
It's something
that's
you've lived.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Rob, first of all, just thank you so much for stopping again to Business Growth on Purpose. Really interesting. So happy for you on your journey. You've reached stages and places which I know a lot of owners would like to get to. So I hope they listen closely to this. And it's the10disciplines.com.
The10disciplines.com. And we have a special code if you'd like to share it with your audience in the show notes.
Uh-huh.
And we'll send that to you. I don't know.
Perfect.
You
know, it'll be in the show notes.
The show notes. He has a discount code for in a special page just for you.
Fantastic. Rob, thank you so much for stopping by. Really
thank you,
appreciate
Jose.
It.
Appreciate okay. you.
All right. Bye now.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Business Growth on Purpose. If you like the show, hit subscribe and leave us a review to help other people find the podcast. And if you're ready to take the next step in driving intentional growth for your business, come check out what we're doing at valueprop.com. We've developed industry-leading programs and systems to help B2B owners take control of their growth. Until then, thanks for listening to another episode of Business Growth on Purpose.